God is good. He is greatly to be praised. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I just want to give honor to Jesus Christ, my Amen. Lord and my Savior. Give honor to God the Father, who is so kind and merciful. To the Holy Spirit, who helps me each and every day of my life. Amen. Amen. And then to Reverend Dr. Williams, I just want him to thank him for the opportunity. He is standing in the stead. Amen.
Amen.
And he has been kind enough to allow us to continue to share that gift of preaching. And for that, I say thank you.
Amen.
Amen. And to all the ministers and all the people of God, good morning. Our text for this morning is going to come out of John chapter 10, verse 27. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
The Gospel of John chapter 10, verse 27. And it simply says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Amen?
Amen.
Our sermon topic is, are you really following him?
Right.
Amen. Right. Are you really following him?
Right.
In 1992, the Mississippi Mass Choir recorded a song called The Shepherd. And when I first heard it, I still recall how the lyrics touched my heart. The chorus of the song makes three statements and asks one question, which will actually be the focus of our message this morning. So I'm going to ask the sound room to play this chorus so you can hear it. And listen carefully to the words. Amen. That you are my sheep. Why aren't you following me? You say that I am your shepherd. Why aren't you following me? My sheep hear my voice. They come running to me. And you say, I am your shepherd. Why aren't you following me? Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, Lord, we just come. We thank you and we praise you for this day. We thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace, your peace, your joy. God, everything about you is good. And God, as we come to this preaching hour, Father God, we know that you said you would not send your word out void, but that it would accomplish that which you said it would accomplish. And so I'm just asking in the name of Jesus that your word would go forth this morning with power and with clarity. And that it will accomplish that very thing that you intended for it to do. So have your way, Holy Spirit. Move me out of the way so that your people may be blessed. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And hallelujah. Amen. So sometime last week, this song just came to my mind. The song that we were just playing came to my mind. And I really did recall the first time I heard it, I was actually sitting in the pulpit when I heard it. And I remember just the tears flowing because of the words of that song. And I began to wonder, are we really following Jesus?
That's right.
Are we really following Jesus? And Psalms 23 came to my mind because it starts off by saying, the Lord is my shepherd. And so that Psalms 23 happens to be a favorite Psalms of many Christians. Down through the years, it has brought hope and comfort and peace for many who were grieving and struggling and hurting. Yet, as I reflected on that psalm, I began to wonder that as much hope that the psalm provides, and as popular as it is, why is it that so many Christians are living below or beneath its declarations? He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But we have want of so many things, and not just material things, mental things, peace, emotional things, joy, spiritual things, hope. We have so much want, yet we say, God is my shepherd. But David said, he is my shepherd, I shall not want. So why are our lives in crisis and chaos when the shepherd can cause us to lie down in green pastures and lead us beside still waters? Why do we remain broken and messed up when the shepherd can restore our souls? Why do we continue down the wrong, destructive path of that wide road when the shepherd can lead us on the path of righteousness for his name's sake? Why are we afraid of the dark shadows of death and dying when he promised to walk us through the valley of the shadow of death? And lastly, why do we fear evil if the shepherd is truly with us? Have you ever thought about that?
Right.
Have you ever pondered that? If he is our shepherd, why do we have lack? And I concluded that our scripture for this morning is the answer to that question. Jesus says in John 10, 27, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And so if we use that scripture to answer the question, then there's four things that we have yet to come to grips with that would allow us to follow Jesus Christ.
All right.
And those four things, the first one is we have an identity problem.
Mm-hmm.
Second, we have a hearing problem.
Right.
Third, we have a relationship problem.
Mm-hmm.
And fourth, we have a following problem. Amen?
Amen?
All in that one verse, Jesus says all that. He says, my sheep, your identity. Hear my voice, your hearing. And I know them, your relationship. And they follow me, your following. And so he can't be our shepherds unless we have all four of those lined up. Amen? Unless all four of those are in place, then we are lost sheep without a shepherd. And so we're going to try to help you this morning a little bit, including myself. Help us to become better followers of Jesus Christ. And so first we have to tackle this identity problem. Identity is important. Who you think you are or who you believe you are affects your entire life.
Right.
If you believe that you are a low down, no good, whatever, that's probably how you're going to live your life. But if you feel that you have worth and you have value and that God has blessed you and you are able to achieve and you are able to do things, then that will also reflect your life. For the word of God said, as a man think in his heart, so is he. And so we have an identity problem. And for us, God identifies us differently than we may identify ourselves. God said in his word that the followers of Jesus Christ are sheep. Now, if we're honest, we really don't want to be a sheep. If we could have chose any animal in the animal kingdom, it would not have been a sheep. We probably would have chose a lion, something bold, something courageous, that's something that could handle conflict. But no, God chose a sheep. And the thing about a sheep is that a sheep, historically, has been said to be quite dumb. Amen? And nobody wants to be associated or identified with an animal that seems to lack common sense, that seems to lack wisdom, knowledge, discernment, judgment, a sheep that is basically just hopeless. And so when we look at this sheep, which God says we are, let's look at some of his challenges. First, a sheep is prone to wander. Yes, they just have a tendency. I don't know if anybody ever seen any sheep or even take care of any sheep, but a sheep will wander itself right away from the flock. And the problem with the sheep wandering away is that it has no instincts whatsoever to turn around and make its way back home. When a sheep wanders away, he is away. He doesn't know how to come back. He doesn't know what direction he left out of. He doesn't know how to get back home. If he wanders away, he is lost. That is why Jesus left the 99 to go and get that one sheep. Because he knew that one sheep would never on its own make its way back home. And so sheep are prone to wander. The other thing a sheep is they're helpless. If a sheep falls down, it can't even stand itself back up. With those short, stubby legs and all of that fur, when it falls down, there is nothing there to help him lift up unless there is what? A shepherd. And so he is helpless. He is defenseless. And then he is highly emotional. Sheep get anxious real quick. They are literally petrified, fearful of just about everything. If you just move in front of them, they jump because their eyes are on the side and not in the front. And so if you approach them from the front, they do not see you. And if you reach out to touch them, they're going to jump. So you better approach them from what? The side. And so sheep have many, many, there's just a few. They have many, many challenges. But yet, God sees us as sheep. And I think if we're honest, that we can see some of the parallels. We too, prone to wander. We too, helpless when we fall. We too, highly emotional, anxious, scared, frightened, confused, just like a sheep. So I believe God hit it right on the head. He identified us as sheep because he knew that we are in the same position and the same condition that they are. He knew that just like sheep, we too need a shepherd. We need someone who's going to care for us, someone who's going to guide us, someone who's going to lead us. And he has provided that in who? In Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus said in the same chapter of John, he says, I am the good shepherd. And he says he is the good shepherd because he also knew there was false shepherds out there. False shepherds trying to lead the people but really didn't care about the people. False shepherds who were trying to lead the people but did not love the people. Oh no, it was all about pomp and circumstance. It was all about position and power, but it wasn't about love. But Jesus comes and says to them, I am the good shepherd. And that's good news, y'all. Because we're in good hands. We're really in good hands, but we need to tackle some of these other problems so that we can really allow Jesus to be our shepherd, so we can allow Jesus to be our guide. And so we have an identity problem, but our identity problem is covered by the person of Jesus Christ. We are sheep, we will always remain sheep, but we have a helper. We are sheep, we will always remain sheep, but we have a guide. We are sheep and we will always remain sheep, but we have somebody who loves us and cares for us and will lead us beside those still waters. Amen. And so our identity problem is already taken care of through Jesus Christ. So then let's look at our hearing problems. Jesus can't fix your hearing problem. Amen. Yeah, you got to fix that one on your own. But he says in that verse, he said, my sheep hear my voice, And the song says that the sheep hear his voice and come running to him. This is another thing about sheep. The sheep are able to recognize only the voice of their shepherd. If you were to put three flocks of sheep into the same sheep pen, when the shepherd came and called the sheep, only the ones who belonged to that shepherd would leave with him. That's how sensitive they are in their hearing. They know the voice of their shepherd, and they follow him and him only. That's also in John 10, that the sheep hear their voice and they follow him. But we hear a lot of voices. Our voice, our neighbor's voice, our mama's voice, our daddy's voice, our children's voice, our friend's voice, our co-worker's voice. There's a lot of voices out there, and we have a tendency to follow different voices. But we need to sharpen up, y'all, because we need to hear one voice and one voice alone, especially when you're trying to navigate through this world, whenever you're trying to make decisions, whenever there is a problem, whenever you're stuck. Somebody was just telling me yesterday, I just feel stuck. And they were coming to me to ask me, what should they do? Well, the truth of the matter is, I don't know what you should do. Some people were probably giving them advice, but I didn't have any advice because I was just as stuck by their situation as they were. And so what I did suggest is that we take it to God in prayer. Why? Because I know God knows how to get you unstuck. But we have to hear his voice. So if we go to him in prayer, are we just talking to him and he never answers? What is prayer? Is it just us getting on our knees and saying 5 or 10 minutes, some people 30 minutes of words, and never hear the voice coming back in response? We have to know that prayer is a conversation. It's not just us talking to God, but it's also God talking to us. And until you are still enough to hear that voice, because God is not a shouter, and I found that out, he's just that still, small voice that is speaking to you. But unless you are still, you won't hear it. And so we have to learn how to be still and know that God is God. You know, God spoke to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And so that lets us know that from the very beginning, God wants us to have this relationship where he is in conversation with us. We have to be able to hear his voice. How can we follow him if we can't hear him? That would be like sitting in a car. You're the driver, and the passenger is giving the directions, but you cannot hear their voice. Where would you end up? There's no telling. And they're sitting right next to you, and they're trying to tell you, but you can't hear them. That's how it is with some of us in God. God is speaking to us, but we don't know his voice. And because we don't know his voice, we can't what? We can't follow him. We can't hear him, and if you can't hear him, then you can't follow him. I heard a pastor say one time that the word of God, because that's one way that God speaks to us, is through his word, and that for me happens to be my favorite, to come across a passage, and it just lifts itself up off the page into my spirit, and I know it was the spirit of God, but when it lifts itself up off that page, because the Bible says the word of God is alive and active, and when it lifts itself up off that page, it jumps into my spirit, and it makes a difference. Jumps into my spirit, and all of a sudden, I know what I'm supposed to do. All of a sudden, I understand the place that I am in, and it's the word of God, but this preacher said that the word of God is called logos in the Greek. And that's just the entire Bible, the logos. But then there's another word for the word, and it's called rhema. And that's the word of God that becomes active, just like I described. And so he said you need to get into your logos, the Bible, so that you can get a rhema, active word. And so it's so important that we read the word of God. It is so important that we take the time and search the scriptures. And I would even suggest to you that when you go to them, don't go to them like you already know them. Like, don't go to Psalms 23 and say, I already know this. I know this by heart. Well, that's good, but God wants you to re-know it. He wants you to come to it afresh and anew, like you ain't never seen it before. Now, my testimony is I never read a Bible until I was 26, right? And so when I read my Bible, all of it was new to me. All those other Christians who grew up in the church, they knew it, but I didn't know it. And so it was a fresh awakening for me. But ever since then, that's how I go to the Bible. Lord, show me this as if I had never seen it before. Show me something new. Show me something fresh. Show me something that's going to help me today in 2026. I can't go on what you taught me from the scripture in 1996. I need a fresh word. I need something that's going to touch my life today. And so don't go to your word, the word of God, like you already know it. You might know it, but the word of God is forever growing. It is forever living. It is forever transforming, no matter what stage of life you're in. So you have to go into the word of God like you know, like you don't know it. And then I already talked about prayer. Prayer is another way that we hear from God. But the other way that we hear from God is through wise Christian counsel. God will give people wise counselors. And they know the word, and they can lead you in the word, and they can show you where you need to go in the word in order to be successful, in order to move forward. But the problem is people don't like to listen to wise counsel. People want to do what they want to do. And you can show them a million scriptures, and it's not going to change a thing. I learned a long time ago. If you have come to me once with a problem, and then you come to me twice with the problem, the third time, I'm probably not going to say a word. Because you have not done what I told you to do or suggest that you do, because I really don't tell people what to do. I just make suggestions according to the word of God. But if you haven't followed those suggestions on the first time, and then you come the second time with the same problem, and I give you a new set of suggestions, and you still haven't done it, why should I even open up my mouth on the third time? Why would I waste my time like that? I wouldn't. But God does give us wise counselors. But they're of no use to you if you will not follow and obey what they are telling you. And so those are our hearing problems, but there's ways to overcome them through prayer, through reading the scripture, through gaining wise counsel and accepting it and receiving it. But then there's that relationship problem. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And later on in verse 10, he says, and they know me. And so the question is, do you know them? And I'm really concerned about that question because I had a Christian who has been a Christian for a long time and does many great things in the church. And they said to me, if I were to die today, I don't even know if I would make it into heaven. That's scary, y'all. We have to know that not only does Jesus know us, but that we know him. It is a relationship. It says that Jesus is a friend who will stick closer than a brother. But we have to form that relationship just like any other relationship. I don't get to know you just by coming to church on Sunday. I might have to spend time with you outside of church to really get to know you. I might know some things about you. I might know that you're nice. I might know that you can sing. I might know this. I might know that. But I don't know you until I decide to spend some time with you. And the more time I spend with you, the stronger that relationship gets. The more time I spend with you, the greater that relationship becomes. And so how do we spend time with God? Well, one, we can spend time with him in his word, like I already said. The more you spend time in his word, the more you can know what he thinks. We don't know what God thinks unless we get into his word. We can say what people said that he said, but I have found out that when people said that God said something, it might not truly be what he said. You know, people used to say that earth has no problem, that heaven cannot heal. I said, oh, that sounds good. So I'm in the Bible looking for that scripture, and guess what? It's not in there. But it sure did sound good. And I thought for sure it had to be in there, but it wasn't. Amen? And so I just say that to say that a lot of these cliches that we hear in the church, We think they're in the Word, but guess what? They might not be there. If you do a search of your own, you will discover the race is given to the swift and not to the, what do they say? Swift, but to the strong. Well, both of those are in there, but guess what? Not together. And so they took A and they took B and they put it together, and you think it's a scripture, and guess what? It's not. And so what you need to do is read the Word for yourself. Amen? Because until you read the Word for yourself, you're not going to know, and you're trying to form a relationship on what somebody else told you, and what they told you is wrong. And so we need to know for ourselves what the Word of God says. That's one way to build a relationship. But the way that I love building my relationship with Jesus, well, prayer is one too. But I love to build my relationship with Jesus through worship. So many people who will just not worship, never lift their hands, never bow their heads, never get on their knees, never say hallelujah, never say thank you, Jesus, never give God the glory, never close their eyes, never bend before him, never cry before him. No worship. And if there is no worship, there's not going to be a good relationship. You can know all of the Word that you want to know. You can pray all day long. But until you begin to worship God, that's when you get close to the Lord. When you begin to praise him and you begin to worship him and you begin to adore him and magnify him and exalt him and lift him up, when you begin to give God the glory, that is when the relationship shifts. That's when you know you're close. That's when you know you're saved. Won't nobody have to tell you that you're saved, because you worship a God who let you know you are my child. I love you. I know you. Oh, what does Tasha Cobb say? He knows my name. He learns your name. He knows your worship. Does God know your worship? That's how you build relationships. Through worship. We think it's just through the Word. But like I said, a lot of people know the Word and don't have a relationship. People send me clips all the time. Michelle, what do you think about this? Something they seen off of TikTok or Instagram. And I'll be so confused. I'm just like, I don't think anything about that. What are they talking about? It's just confusion. And so you can know the Word, but that Word itself doesn't mean relationship. You can pray, but praying itself doesn't remain that you have a relationship unless God is speaking back to you. But try worshiping him. I declare to you something's going to happen.
All right.
Something great is going to happen. And so that's our relationship problem. But then we have this following problem, right? We follow people all day on social media. But we don't follow Jesus. We'll do all those silly things they're challenging you to do. That 21-day challenge, that whatever challenge, those foolish challenges that those kids do. And we'll do it all day long, just following and challenging and following. But God challenges us too. Challenge us to live a holy life. Challenges us to be kind and loving. Challenges us to forgive. He challenges us all the time, but we don't want to do none of Jesus's challenge. But we'll do all the foolishness we see on social media. And so we have a following problem. And the thing about following Jesus is Jesus said, come unto me, all you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. If we are yoked to Jesus, then we follow him as he moves. Because when you're yoked together, you really cannot move. If you try to move in another direction than which Jesus is going, you are going to break your neck. Because you can't move your neck in a yoke. And so if you try to get out of it, if you try to turn, if you try to go anywhere but the way of Jesus, you're getting ready to get hurt. You think you're hurt? Is it because you didn't stay connected to that yoke? Is it because that you stopped trying to follow?
That's right.
It's because at some point in time you said, no, I'm turning back. And we know that Jesus said that if you put your hand to the plow and you turn back, that you're really not even worthy. To be his disciple. And so discipleship is different than just following blindly. We're not just following Jesus where he goes, but when you become his disciple, you are learning of him. I'm learning how he thinks. I'm learning how he responds. I'm learning how he treats people. I'm learning how he talks to the Father. I'm learning how he does everything that he does. And after I learn it, then I implement it. I imitate it. I begin to live like he lives. I begin to talk like he talks. That's what he talks about when he talks about becoming a follower. He doesn't just want you to follow after him and go to this place and go to that place, but he wants you to follow after him and learn who he is and then be who he is on the earth. He wants you to show people that your Redeemer still lives. He wants to show you to show people that there is still hope, that you are light shining in darkness, that you are the salt of the earth. You should never enter a room and people are sad that you have showed up. You should be the light. You should be the one bringing hope, bringing peace, bringing joy. You should be the one that people wished that they could be like. And they don't know that you, the only reason they want to be like you is because you're trying to be like Jesus. And so we have to follow him, but not just blindly going from one place to the other. Some people think they're following him when they come to church on Sunday and they go to Bible study on Wednesday or Friday or Tuesday, and then they come to choir rehearsal that they're following Jesus. No, those are just church activities, y'all. That's not following Jesus. Following Jesus is a learning who he is and then imitating him in your everyday life. That is following Jesus. And when we follow Jesus, then we can say truly, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Once we identify as a sheep, once we correct our hearing problem, once we enter into true relationship, and once we learn how to follow him, then he will lead us by the quiet streams. He will restore our soul. He will lead us through the valley of the shadow of death. And he will make sure that we don't fear any evil. But it's not until we become his true sheep, his true follower, his true disciple. So many people think they got it, but they don't got it. They are upset and miserable all the days of their life, yet they call themselves a Christian. But if you are a Christian and the Lord is your shepherd, you'll have everything that you need and more. You will be so satisfied. He said he'll prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. Oh, when your enemy come, Jesus says, come on down and let's eat. Your enemies mean nothing to Jesus. You will be protected. You will be provided for. You will have provision. You will have more than enough. He said, I come that they might have life and they might have it abundantly. But you have to make sure you're a sheep. Nothing wrong with being a sheep. Most dependent animal on the face of the earth. But we depend on the one who died for us. We depend on the one who rose for us. We depend on the one who ascended into the heavens for us and is interceding on our behalf. We depend on God. We depend on Jesus Christ. We depend on the King of Glory. And there's nothing wrong with being dependent, y'all. We're trained to be independent, but that's a billy goat that's independent. That's what goats do. They want to be independent and active. But a sheep knows he needs his shepherd. And so I just want to encourage you this morning that if you want the blessings of Psalms 23, then learn how to do what Jesus said in John 10 and 27. God bless you.
All right, man. All right.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huff Smith, Porville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."